grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you in the knowledge of God and of Christ Jesus, our Savior. Our text is written in the 14th chapter of Romans, beginning at the 7th verse. None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For a person who studies the life and work of the Apostle Paul on the basis of the book of Acts and Paul's epistles, one overall impression will obtain, I'm quite sure, and that is this, that Paul was a very dedicated, very sincere, very intense, and very much concerned man. Hardly had he been converted, but he felt the need to bring the news that had been made known to him to others. And he didn't do things by halves. We read in the 9th chapter of Acts, he increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. We know that he did this with such vigor and such fervor that they persecuted him and tried to kill him. And the same thing happened in the city of Jerusalem. Hardly had he come there, hardly had he been introduced into the circle of the Christians and accepted by them, then again he began his energetic campaign of promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ among the Hellenists. And the same thing happened. They became incensed, they persecuted him, tried to kill him, and he had to flee. And still he didn't learn his lesson. If we think that that might be the lesson that one should learn, on his journey, we find this same intense character to his work. When they tried to worship him and Barnabas in Lystra, he and Barnabas ran among the people, tearing their clothes and trying with might and main to persuade them that they were not gods, but men. And so it happened in Athens, where he was provoked in the spirit and spoke very eloquently to the men who were gathered on Areopagus, and everywhere he went. Yes, he took this intensity into other areas of activity also. When he and Barnabas had a difference of opinion, the contention was so sharp between them that they parted asunder. And as we know, this reflects in his epistles. We know how he wrote to the Galatians, how earnestly he pleaded with them, and how he used every device of language to try to convince them not to be beguiled away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to the Corinthians, he displays his empathy when he says, "Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant?" So we get the picture of a fiery, energetic little man who makes his decisions rapidly, who acts upon them immediately, and who sees no time for delay or for dilly-dallying. But we see another side of Paul, too. He also had a contemplative side, and he could spend time in meditation. He could draw away from the problems of this life and the problems of his work, the tasks that were imposed upon him, and quietly consider the basic issues of life and death. And that's what he does when he's sitting in prison and writing the epistle to the Philippians. He's a man who is confronted by uncertainty. Uncertainty as to whether this will end in his liberation or in his death. And we often think that uncertainty is far worse than the certainty of some evil, even the evil of death. But Paul isn't in the least disturbed. He asks himself, and he poses that question to the Philippians too, will this end in my execution? Well, if so, it's all right with me. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. He wasn't afraid of death and its terrors in the least. And then he thought of the people who had been committed to him, and he thought of his work that he had begun. And in spite of all the troubles and all the persecution and all the anxieties of his life, he says to stay here on earth is really more needful at this time. And so he shows a wonderful balance, a marvelous Christian poise, doesn't he? In fact, he goes so far that he says he's glad that God is making the choice for him, but because if he had to make the choice, he really didn't know what he would take. And that's the way he stands before us in the epistle, in the text that was read to you, where he sums everything up in the treatment of a problem that was current in the congregation at Rome by saying, so then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. That's wonderful Christian balance, Christian poise, isn't it? And I've chosen this text for the memorial service for our late teacher and colleague, George B. Schick, because I am convinced that he in his life displayed such Christian poise, and that the Holy Ghost, through his death and through the words of St. Paul in our text, commends this Christian poise to us at this time. The problem in Rome was one that we might consider rather minor, but it caused quite a bit of stir. It was that of the observance of days, or the non-observance of days and ceremonies. It was that of eating certain food, or a feeling that one was not allowed to eat them, at least not at certain times. And the contention became quite sharp, so that Paul had to take the matter in hand and had to propose a solution. Now, when people were enraged, when people were angry at each other, when there was a threatened split in the congregation, how did Paul address himself to this problem? He first of all looked for a motivation, and he made sure that everyone knew that he should be convinced in his own mind that what he was doing was the Lord's will. And then he found therein the common basis on which all Christians stood and stand. And that is that whatever they do to the Lord. And having found this, he proclaimed this as a principle, that it really makes no difference whether we live or whether we die, whether we eat or whether we do not eat, whether we observe a day or whether we do not observe a day. It makes no difference. We're all the Lord's, and as long as we are serving him together, this is the thing that counts. Now, in developing this principle with regard to the small problem, he enunciated it for all problems of our life, and particularly also for the question of life and death. No one lives to himself. That is, no Christian lives to himself. He knows that he has been bought with a price. He knows that it was to this end and for this purpose that Christ was incarnate, that he suffered and died and rose again, that he might redeem us, buy us all back from the power of Satan, and make us his own. The Christian who lives in constant relationship to his Lord knows that the actions of his life are governed by the will of his Lord. As St. Paul says when he writes to the Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ, It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And the Christian knows that in death he is not his own. He doesn't choose the hour of his death. He doesn't choose the means of his death. He lets all to the Lord, and thus he glorifies his Lord also in dying. It's important for the child of God to know that whether he lives or dies, he is the Lord. For, says Paul, for this purpose, to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. I think we Christians in our life know that we are constantly in God's care. We bid each other Godspeed, and particularly when someone sets out to travel, we commend him to the care of God, and we know that God takes care of us here just as well as he takes care of our loved ones elsewhere. We know that he takes care of us on earth, and while we're flying in the air, or when we're on the sea or under the sea. We know that God takes care of us at home, or at work, or in the hospital. We know that God takes care of us when we're sleeping or when we're waking. But are we always conscious of the fact that we are the Lord, and that our relationship is absolutely unchanged whether we live or whether we die? We feel the separation of death, and we commit the bodies of our loved ones to the earth, and we suffer pain when we think that we shall not see them, at least not until the resurrection on the last day. And we begin to wonder when we think of the fact that our bodies disintegrate, and that of many, many people, no trace of their bodies can be found. But this same truth applies, that whether we live or die, so whether we have died, whether our bodies have decomposed, or what has happened to us, our relationship to our Lord Jesus is absolutely unchanged. He is the Lord of the dead just as much as the living. And that gives us this Christian poise, this complacence, this balance that we need in our strenuous lives. That gives us the poise that we need, particularly over against the death of our loved ones, or when we contemplate our own death and the end of our life. And as I said, it's on this account that I chose the text, because I believe that Dr. George Schick was an outstanding example to his fellow believers of this Christian poise. I knew him for 46 years. I met him first when I was a high school student. And to us at that time, he was not only a good teacher, he was, as he said, a good sport. And that was about as high a compliment as we could pay to a teacher. It didn't make much difference to him just exactly what his function was as a junior member of the faculty of our college at Fort Wayne. He was the only one on the faculty who had an earned doctorate degree in Semitics. But that didn't make him feel that he was superior to others, nor did it make him feel that he couldn't be asked to teach things which were not exactly in his line of preparation. Well, someone needed to teach French, Dr. Schick taught it. Well, someone needed to teach what science was taught at that time. He was intensely interested, and he acquired the facility to teach it. But above all, he taught in the field of his preparation and with his first love, the Hebrew language. And so it was throughout all of his life and all of his relationships, he was the one who never took himself too seriously, but who was ready to joke about himself and to deflate others, and to give and take in the Christian discussion, and to make sure that what he said was for edification. Now, when our Lord tells us that we should consider the end of those who have taught us, consider their faith, am convinced that he is telling us now, too, in this disturbed world, in these days of tension, both outside and inside the church, that here is a gift which he is ready to give, for which we should ask, and which we should diligently seek, as Paul reminds us in his first epistle to the Corinthians, that we should ask him for the best gift, and that's this gift of Christian poise. We find it all too rarely in our day. Just last night's paper had a headline giving the summary of an address which was made at a local educational meeting. Educator says modern youth are unsure of their identity. And whether it's this particular thing or something else, we find a great lack of balance. We find people disturbed and people getting overexcited about things. So it's a good thing if we take a few moments out to recognize that this is the attitude that we should foster, whether we live or whether we die. We are the Lord. And once having settled this principle and applied it to the great question of life and death, then let's take it into other questions in life, too. So often, we wrestle in the dimly lit room of our own opinions and the opinions of others. Let's do what Paul did in our text, and take these smaller questions out into the light of the full gospel message of the Lordship of Christ, and then their size will be greatly minimized. In fact, many of them will quickly disappear. So, as we think back to our colleague who instructed here for a quarter century, who served the Lord faithfully and well for half a century, we consider that we can best learn from him if we learn of him not to take ourselves too seriously, but to remember that we are the Lord, and that whether we live or die, whatever happens to us, we are his. And then, as Paul says, all things will work together for good to them that love God. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.